Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to discuss the year in review with the Minnesota Patriot Guard and check in with the Minnesota Humanities Center's Veterans Voices. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Serving in the military can be a challenge. Our missions can be dangerous, and sometimes we're away from our families for longer than we'd like. Being in a military family can also be challenging, and juggling all of our family and military duties can sometimes get the best of us. I want you to know that when times get tough, there's a group of folks ready to lend a hand. They are the people of our Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers. Located in 10 communities across Minnesota, our Family Assistance Centers can help with ID cards, financial and legal concerns, TRICARE information, and can also offer referrals to community resources and networks. Participation is voluntary, confidential, and open to family members of all services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, both active and reserve component. To learn more or to locate a Family Assistance Center near you, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org or call 612-618-6927. That's 612-618-6927.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. The Minnesota Patriot Guard is a diverse group of riders and individuals with one thing in common. They all have tremendous respect for those who risk their lives every day, whether on American soil or abroad, in securing our nation's freedoms and liberties. And joining us to talk about the Minnesota Patriot Guard is their president, Doug Bly, and a frequent guest of the radio show, Tim Leonhardt. Gentlemen, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for coming down to the studio.
Thanks for inviting us, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Doug, we have you on a couple times a year, but Tim's over here under his hat of courage about once a month, so he can give us updates on your Patriot Guard riders and all of the activities going on. But Tim, thanks for joining us as often as you do. But Doug, we want to talk about the year in review. We want to talk a little bit about what happened in 2018 and what's coming up in 2019. But before we get to that, can you explain to our listeners what's the mission of the Minnesota Patriot Guard and your riders?
You know, probably our tagline, Tom, says it best. It's honor, dignity, and respect for those who are in the military, for those who have served in the military, also law enforcement, and for our public defenders in the fire department and the rescue squads and special services. It is our distinct honor, you know, to be there in a family's worst day is our primary core mission, you know, particularly if someone's lost in combat. Those are the missions that we were originally formed for in 2005. You know, we've expanded our mission scope quite a bit. We do veteran services now. We have a very active Help on the Home Front program, but we still, it goes back to those days and the family's worst day that we stand for them.
And it all goes back some years back when there was a group of people that were harassing some veterans when they were, some families when they were trying to bury their veterans.
Yeah, the Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas was, you know, you take 30 people doing a bad thing has resulted in 50,000 people doing the right thing, and that's how we look at that. But it was the American Legion Riders, Post 136 in Mulvane, Kansas. There were five Vietnam veterans and one angry wife, and they decided we're going to do something about it. So those first five Legion Riders became the Patriot Guard Riders, and they stood at a flag line and stood between the Westboro Baptist Church, who was chanting vile, filthy things to this family, and that was the beginning of it for us.
And now, I don't know if anybody knows how many missions have gone on, but it's all over the nation. And here in Minnesota, you've been active for how many years?
2005 were our first missions. Andrew Kempel up in Anoka was the very first mission. 2006, we really took form and took shape and really expanded our growth. We went from five members to about, I want to say, 500 in that first year. And I think about 2008 or 9, we're up to about 5,000 people who are getting weekly communication from us.
Any idea how many missions you might have gone on since then?
You know, Tom, we often go back and think about what is the number. And what we always say, the mission I'm on today is the most important mission I've ever been on. You know, we probably, throughout the state, average about 400 to 500 mission days a year. Last year was a little bit down from that. But, you know, again, through the worst days with the National Guard, when they're deployed heavily in Iraq during those combat periods of time, I think our worst week in 2009 was we had six KIAs in a two-week period of time. And I go back, I still have all the emails. In fact, I looked at them last week, and so proud of the Minnesota Patriot Guard and its members. We were there every time a plane came in. We were there for the funeral home services, there for the church services, and there for the internment if they were interred in Minnesota. I'm just so proud of the response we had back then.
And Tim, we've gone over this before, but if someone wants to join and become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider, they don't have to be a Vietnam veteran. Nope. They don't have to be an old guy like me.
Nope.
They don't have to drive a motorcycle.
Nope.
Who's eligible?
Anybody.
And how do they join?
Just go to our webpage at mnpatriotguard.org. Over on the left side, it says join us.
And what happens after that?
Actually, all you do is you give us an email address, and we'll assign you to a ride captain or to a sector. We'll send you emails of what's going on in your area. We have access to our calendar all the time. And just be there, and we'll get you going.
And, Doug, there are sectors all over the state. You've got the state divided up.
We do.
We do. You know, way back when, one of the first day captains, Jim Bono, he got the zip code list of all the zip codes in Minnesota and sat down and with a couple guys and I'm sure a couple of liquid libations, and they kind of broke the state up into 20 different sectors, geographically based.
We're speaking with Doug Bly and Tim Leonhart from the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Doug, everything's kind of evolved, and as my recollection is, you go on about 500 missions per year, but can you give us just a quick breakdown? What type of missions do you go out on?
Yeah, the most of our, from a mission count, is we're invited by families of veterans honorably discharged. We're invited to attend their funeral services, and we did a bit over 200 of those last year. In fact, Saturday, we had three of them in the cities. I went to one of them up in Monticello, and that's the primary, the largest volume of missions we do. We're also involved in active duty. We unfortunately lost a young man, a Marine from northern Minnesota. The families invited us to participate in that. A lot of repatriations as well. You know, they're identifying a lot of the remains from, you know, World War II and Korea. And so we're asked to be part of those missions as well from the families. We consider it a KAA or a combat death. We also have a large Help in the Home Front program where we're playing bingo and, you know, entertaining veterans and just once a month letting them know we care for them. And then as well, we do deployment ceremonies.
Deployment, Tim, I want to come back to you on that. I know the answer to this, but for years now, we've been covering deployments. The Minnesota Army and Air National Guard have been going overseas to Kuwait and Afghanistan and everywhere. And I can remember you guys going to a lot of these deployment ceremonies, but there's a more favorite one that you like to go when they come home.
Oh, yeah. When they come home, there's nothing like that. It's just like, you feel like you're in the movies when the sailors get off the ship. The families are just waiting there, and you just see them all dressed up and waiting to welcome their loved ones home, and we're just standing there watching, and there's a reason we wear sunglasses, and it isn't because it's sunny.
Doug, the other story I remember you telling me was about a deployment ceremony when in an armory, I can't remember where it was, but there was a group of soldiers ready to go out, and you and your rider showed up in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock in the morning.
You know, it's a 24-hour cycle they work on, and we work in the same cycle with them. You know, we have gotten up at 2 and 3 in the morning, and we call it O-Dark 30, that we're on the road, and wherever we are requested to be part of it, we get in front of the buses, and we take them to wherever they're going to go, to the airport here in Minneapolis, or we've ridden them all the way down to Fort McCoy in Wisconsin.
And those soldiers that were deploying remembered that you were there and your riders were there. It's important.
No, it is. And every time we ask that question often of the leadership for the National Guard, is it really important that we're there? You know, we don't want to impose or force ourselves onto it. And they say, no, you have no idea what it means to these soldiers to see you there.
There was another surprise that I don't think I'll ever forget. Some years ago when General Shalito was retiring as the adjutant general, we had a retirement ceremony for him over in Bloomington. And you and must have been at least 100 riders snuck in and rang the dining room up there, the great big hall that we were in. And General Shalito was just, he was overtaken.
Yeah, you know, General Shalito, we owe such a debt of gratitude for. He helped legitimize us as we started up. He got to the casualty assistance officer team and said, these are good people. We can trust them, invite them, and help them be part of this. And so he really helped make it this possible for us. And so as we were there that night, as he was retiring, we had made a special vest for him. It was a Patriot Guard patch on the back and a motorcycle vest. And I was honored to present that to him. And as I turned around to address the crowd, I could see the corner of my eye, he was stripping his blouse off and had the vest on before I could get the first sentence out.
I was there. He did that quick. It was a great night. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how families can contact the Minnesota Patriot Guard to ask you to come out to a funeral mission. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Patriot Ride and some of the other great work done by the Minnesota Patriot Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with the Minnesota Patriot Guard and the president of that organization, Mr. Doug Bly, and our frequent guest on the show, Tim Leonhardt. And Doug, I want to come back to you. I would guess that by far the majority of your missions are going to be the funeral missions for our veterans who have died. But if for all our listeners out there, if they've got a veteran and they lose them, how do they contact you? How do they arrange for the Patriot Guard riders to come and honor their veteran?
The best and the only way we'd like to see it done, Tom, is through our website. At www.mnpatriotguard.org. On the left-hand side, there's a symbol that says request us or ask for our services. And we ask for a direct family member only, and then send us an email with the information, what you're looking for, what the day is, the location of the facilities. We do ask that the families choose between our being there at a wake or at the church services or at the interment of Fort Snelling. We do an awful lot, and especially the Monday through Friday team of people there. Sometimes they're going to 2 and 3 funerals in a day.
And if you're not asked, you don't go.
We do not go. We're strictly upon invitation and strictly by a direct family member. We've had too many occurrences early on in our organization where someone thought they're doing the right thing and asked us to be there, and the family didn't know we were going to be there. So to avoid that, I'm very uncomfortable. So a lot of people say when representing the family, get it, but we want the direct family contact.
So respect their privacy. If they ask for it, you'll put out a call. And Tim, tell us how that works. If family has been asked and there's a funeral to go to, you put out the word by email?
We put out the word by email. We post it on our calendar. And I've never been to a mission where they haven't surprised me with how many people show up.
You're never quite sure how many will show up. But
we never know.
But they always do.
When I deal with a family, I just tell them I can guarantee there will be one there.
The ride captain.
And me.
And you. Very good. And the way that's organized, if you become a Patriot Guard rider and you want to go to one of these things, they'll explain to you how to do it. You just need a flag and a flagpole and a good heart. There'll be a ride captain there to get everybody organized. And I've been to one of these. Doug, I've told you about this before. The grandfather on the other side of my family died, and your guys showed up one cold January day, and they were there first, and they were there last. And it's a very emotional experience. And so for all of you out there, if you have respect for our veterans, go to mnpatriotguard.org. Sign up. Give it a try. You might like it. These guys are hooked. I've known them for years, and they are. Now, Doug, the other thing that we don't talk about too much is the fact that you go on all these missions, but you also do some fundraising. You've got an online store. You sell some stuff. You have a Patriot Ride, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, a big fundraiser. And you support other organizations as well.
Yeah, early on we found that we had the ability to raise money to help groups. And so every year we raise about between $40,000 and $70,000 and donate about half of that back to other organizations. And the other half we use for our own internal for supporting veterans' homes and hospitals and some different hunting activities.
So you're organized as a nonprofit?
We're organized as a 501c3 nonprofit. I'm actually president of the board of directors. The state captain, Craig Uglund, is over the mission piece of it, and I'm over the business piece or the kind of the money end, as we like to call it.
Now, can you share with us some of the organizations you support?
Well, I think their biggest individual donations to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. We donate every year to them about $15,000. We always like to say we're the first one of the year when we attend the breakfast for them. But we also do a lot of other work with the Flags for Military Fallen, David Larson out of Eden Prairie. So we donate for all the flags that he puts up in Minnesota for those families. So we help other people do good work. We're also made a point now of looking for Global War on Terror veterans and some of the groups that are forming now, and they're it's really candidly, it's an effort to get them to stop killing themselves. So we're trying to find groups like that we can help. As you know, Tom, I'm a civilian. not a veteran, so I can't talk to a combat veteran with credibility in their experiences, but we're helping those combat vets gather together, groups such as the Band of Brothers Outdoors and 23 to Zero and Fishing for Life, and we're really trying to help those groups now get in front of that problem.
Suicide prevention has been one of the things you've been trying to help with for a few years now.
We have been, and you know, we're getting some success, and we're reminding people that we're there to help. When Gold Star families, a lot of them do fundraisers for military causes on their own. You know, as we find out about them, we let them know if you request, we'll donate $250 to them.
We're speaking with Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Gentlemen, I want to talk a little bit about the Patriot Ride for 2019. We've been covering this for a few years. It's one of your biggest events, and if our listeners all over the state have never been, you've got to go and see this when 3,000 motorcycles start up, all kind of in order and all at once. It's incredible. Tell us about it.
You know, it really has been just a marvelous show of support for military and law enforcement. It's the website is thepatriotride.org. And we like to say it's about 5,000 people are involved in that, Tom. And to your point, we break the groups up into, I think this last year was 6 different groups of motorcycles. We had, I think, close to 50 law enforcement personnel helping, you know, guard the corners and manage traffic and safely do it. But, you know, it's really a day to say thanks. And it's a day to make sure that they hear loudly, you know, with 3,000 plus Harleys and whatever else starting up, that we're there for you. We have your back, and we appreciate what you're doing, and we're here for you.
So this year, that's going to be June 22nd?
June 22nd, it'll be in the same place. It's at Anoka County Airport at the Lynx FBO up there. And
that's a Saturday again.
That is a Saturday again. The ride takes off at about 11:30 or noon. It's about a 70-mile ride. We've increased the length of the ride now. But, you know, great programs in the morning. We've got a lot of vendor booths who are there. Great support of the law enforcement military vehicles, of some static displays set up there. And it's just really a day to come back in and just, you know, usually a lot of folks in uniform that are there, and just, you know, say thanks, what's going on. But it's also a day for the veterans to gather up, and it's also a day for the Gold Star families to get together.
And it's really a family affair. You can bring the kids out there. There's food, there's beverages, there's pop, there's music, all kinds of things.
It's extremely family-friendly. One wouldn't think 3,000 motorcyclists getting together in Minnesota would be a family-friendly event, but it absolutely is.
And so June 22nd, put that on your calendar. Save the date. It's at the Anoka County Airport. And that's a big event for the Minnesota, for the Patriot Ride.
Thepatriotride.org is the website.
So your Patriot Guard riders, are they automatically members of the Patriot Ride? Are these linked or not?
No, they're linked. It's two different organizations. Dennis Kirk is the primary sponsor for the ride itself. And we've been involved with it 12 of its 13 years. The Patriot Guard's been involved in helping organize and run it.
Doug, we just got a couple minutes left. What's in the future for the Minnesota Patriot Guard?
You know, Tom, I think it's a lot of different things that we're trying to. We've got to kind of reform ourselves as well. You know, as the needs from the military changes, we have to change with it. So we're really trying to focus again on supporting groups that are going for suicide prevention and making sure that there's better communications. We're always looking for new members and new leaders, particularly Monday through Friday. And when a lot of funerals take place, and because it's tough to get out of work, you know, as you know yourself. But I think, you know, we've really got to just take a good look, and we're constantly working with the National Guard, you know, what their needs are going to be. You know, we can get heads up on deployments, but, you know, are we serving the right mission for them? Are we serving the right purpose? We've had conversations in the past with General Jensen and Command Sergeant Major Wortham, just, you know, are we in the right place for you? Are we doing the right things? Let us know where we can go.
And that's a good way to check with them, because occasionally they'll say, something's changed, we need to tweak this a little bit. But the one thing you touched on there is new members, new leadership. You and I have been at this for quite a while. And we need to bring in some new blood, some new help, some younger people, some people to be the next generation after we step down.
I've been doing this, Tom, since 2006. I think I met Tim on my first mission at a gas station in a rainstorm going over to Ladysmith, Wisconsin.
And you stayed anyway.
We stayed anyway and stayed friends anyway.
Sorry, Tim.
So we've been doing this a long time, and, you know, so we have it down to a system, so to speak. And sometimes that gets dangerous, as you know. You can't take anything for granted. So we're looking for new ideas, you know, new energy, you know, new thoughts, and new leaders to come forward with us.
Tim, I want to thank you for all the times you've stopped into the radio station, and we're looking forward to seeing you this all during 2019. Make sure your Hat of Courage brings you back.
Now, I will.
Doug, any final thoughts? We've got about 30 seconds.
You know, to those who are serving today, particularly if those in Kuwait are listening to us, you know, we appreciate what you're doing. Can't wait to bring you home. But to all of our veterans, and most especially to the Gold Star families, you know, our hearts are with you. And thank you for what you've all done. And we stand with honor, dignity, and respect for all who ask.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Veterans Voices program from the Minnesota Humanities Center. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On this segment, we're going to talk about the Minnesota Humanities Center's Veterans Voices Award, which recognizes former and actively serving Minnesota veterans who are making significant contributions to their communities and are exemplary humanists. The veterans also embody the Humanities Center's mission to build a thoughtful, literate, and engaged society and values to build and strengthen relationships, recognize the power of story and danger of absence, learn from and with multiple voices, and amplify community solutions for change. Joining us now to talk about the Minnesota Humanities Center's Veterans Voices program is Blake Rondo. Blake, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
Well, there was a few words to say, but you'd expect that from the Humanities Center, and I hope I didn't butcher them too bad. Now, you've been on the show before, but in other capacities.
Yes.
So tell us, you worked for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for a while.
I did.
And before that, I think you were on talking about the Minnesota Warriors hockey.
I was indeed. And then now I'm with the Minnesota Humanities Center, so helping veterans in any way that I can in different capacities.
So we, for many years, we had Trista Matta-Castillo on the show talking about Veterans Voices, and you're in that position now with the Minnesota Humanities Center?
I am, and hoping to do as good of a job as she did.
All right. Tell us a little bit about that position. What are you doing over there?
Right. So, I mean, the Veterans Voices is one of the programs that we have at the Minnesota Humanities Center. And what we like to do is use it to engage the humanities in public life. And so what does that mean for veterans? That means that we help them find their voice and find their communities and allow for both the community and the veteran to talk. As you had read in that, you know, there's a danger of absented narrative. And right now we have a lot of thank you for your service. But what does it mean when we talk about someone's service? And we have a lot of veterans that, you know, feel that they are the only ones that feel something or another. And so this is a great way where we can have people experience their own experiences through writing, through storytelling, through community talks, but then go further by meeting with groups and seeing that there's many of these voices and empowering those voices throughout Minnesota.
Now, Blake, you served in the Marine Corps. You know, I served in the Air Force in Vietnam. And when we took the oath of office and joined the military, we swore to support the country. And when I got out, nobody ever relieved me of that oath. And I don't think they did you either. But there are many veterans in our community that are out there and they're still working for our country. They're still working to help other veterans. They're still working to make the United States a better place. And what you're really doing with the Veterans Voices Awards is recognizing some of those veterans that are still out there working hard.
Absolutely. And going on our seventh year of the awards that we're going to have, and yes, we're going to have the award this year. We're going to make some changes to it. And right now we're working out what those are. So this is the part of the show that I say, stay tuned, stay engaged for our website. It's mnhum.org/vets. So mnhum.org/vets. And so It's not a work in progress. We know what we kind of want to represent, but what we want to do is make sure that we're expanding it to all of Minnesota. And how do we do that properly? So we just ask that you stay tuned and stay engaged and stay excited about the Veterans Voices Award.
We're speaking with Blake Rondo from the Minnesota Humanities Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Blake, in past years, you recognized some younger veterans. I think you called them on the rise, and some older guys like me. That you refer to as legacy. Are you still looking for some young and some legacy on the rise and legacy veterans that you might recognize this year?
Absolutely. I mean, our key is to get equity, diversity, and involvement throughout greater Minnesota. I mean, we really want to make sure that we're not just emphasizing good works in the Twin Cities because it's easy because we're located there. We want to make sure that we're stretching out to all across the state, and that means putting new programming out into those states, but also listening to the applications that come from outer state or greater Minnesota.
So for our listeners in 55 stations all over Minnesota, if you've got a veteran in your community that's been doing some considerable good work to help the community and help other veterans, you should go to the website, which once again is mnhum.org, and put that veteran up for one of these awards.
Absolutely.
And you really want to get some people from outstate Minnesota.
Yes.
So for everybody in St. Cloud or Crookston or Duluth and around the state, we know there's a lot of good veterans out there doing a lot of good work. So please go to mnhum.org and put them up for there. Now, are there any eligibility requirements beyond what we've talked about for someone to be nominated for this award?
Right. So one of our main aspects is what is a veteran? And we have also recognized Southeast Asian guerrilla unit members. And so what we really ask is that for the U.S. involvement in that, that there is an honorable discharge. But we want to recognize as many as possible people that are doing great works and that have contributed to what it is to being a veteran, to contribute to the wars that the U.S. have been in. And so there is no real exclusivity that we have, but we do ask about the honorable discharge.
So if you've got a particularly active good veteran in your community, go to mnhum.org and nominate them for a Veterans Voices Award. Blake, I want to ask you just a little bit. The Minnesota Humanities Center is, I believe, a 501c3 nonprofit?
Yes, it is.
And are you looking for volunteers? Are you looking for donations? What do you need?
As a 501c3, everyone's always looking for at least a partnership, sponsorship, donations. We are always there. You can find that. A way to donate on our website as well. But yes, I mean, we're always looking for people that want to engage with either Veterans Voices or any number of the programs that the Minnesota Humanities Center has. But we're also the recognized Humanities Council for Minnesota, if that makes a difference. I mean, we founded 50 years ago with the genesis of the National Endowment for the Arts and National Endowment for the Humanities.
So once again, more information at mnhum.org. Blake, I know you've got a new program we're going to talk about in the next segment. We got a couple of minutes left here. Veterans writing.
Yes.
What's this about?
It's about helping veterans to find their voice, like we had talked about. You can't engage with a society if you don't know your story. And I think that it's about having veterans feel comfortable talking with other veterans and talking with non-veterans about what they've done, what they haven't done, what they feel they still need to do, since you had mentioned so many veterans come back, they're never relieved of that oath. They want to continue and engage. So this is a way for them to do that and carry the ball forward.
So is this going to be an effort to tell their stories or to record their stories?
It hopefully will come down to recording, but as it comes down now, it'll be just the written word right now.
Okay, we've got just about a minute left here. We started out talking about the Veteran Voices Award to recognize former and actively serving Minnesota veterans who are making significant contributions to their communities. So if you've got a veteran in your community that you think has done some great work, go to mnhum.org and submit an application for them. Blake, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about veterans writing and the new program from the Minnesota Humanities Center. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Blake Rondo, who is now working with the Minnesota Humanities Center staff as of February of 2018, and he's working on the Veterans Voices program and on a veteran writing program. But Blake, we touched on in the first segment, you served in the United States Marine Corps.
I did, Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. And what was your job in the Marines?
I was an 0811, which is an artillery cannoneer.
What?
Exactly.
That's it. So you can't. So we're beefing up the sound to him so he can hear what we're saying. How did you get from there to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
So I served from 2008 to 2012, came home, went to college, graduated, got a job at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, as you had mentioned earlier, and then moved from communications to claims office, and then this job opened up, and they found me worthy.
I think we first met you as an intern over there.
Yes, I was.
And you came over to see what we were doing with Minnesota Military Radio. Now you found a way to get back on the show again.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us today. Now, we want to touch a little bit more on this Veterans Voices program. Who is that cover? Who does it benefit? Who are we recognizing?
Right. So this is a statewide effort to recognize all veterans of all backgrounds, all conflicts, to come together and to find their voice, find their story, and engage with their community.
So if you've got a veteran in your community that's been out there making significant contributions to your community, go to mnhum.org and nominate them for the Veterans Voices Award. It's a great ceremony. I happen to have had the honor to be part of this a few years ago, and I think your veterans would be pleased to be part of that. And, Blake, we also mentioned at the end of the first segment that you're working on a veterans writing program. Can you tell us what that's about?
Yes. So this is actually a collaborational effort with the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis, as well as the Warrior Writers, which is a story-sharing group that is nationwide. They come in and they teach veterans how to get into story and how to have writer workshops. And so it's the Minnesota Humanities Center, Warrior Writers, and the VA, and we're doing these around the state. We've had two last year in 2018, and now we're going to have multiple this year throughout the state. Again, check our website for more details, mnhum.org. And what this is our effort to reach out into communities around the state and have veterans find what, you know, write down their experiences so that they can understand what they want to talk about and also just feel validated. Get a group of vets together is always fun. And so what we do is we try to empower them and give them some skills and really hone in their writing ability and then give them the power to share their story.
So what's the VA Medical Center's role in this collaboration?
They have been a wonderful partner. If you've seen their flyers anywhere, if you've had their, if you use their medical services, many providers know about it. The mental health clinic has been posting about it. They've been referring people to us. And so anyway, if you see it, come join, come out. If it's not your cup of tea, that's okay. But if you find some value in it, then we'd love to have you and continue to come.
So they're helping you to connect with some of the veterans.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a big resource. It touches a lot of veterans, whether they like it or not. And this is a great way for them to kind of extend their role out into greater Minnesota.
Now, Blake, I understand you've got a new program going where you're trying to reach out to some college professors.
Absolutely. Recent research has shown as of 2016 that we have over 2 million veterans in colleges. And so we have young veterans. They're coming back. They have a whole life to live. And we want to help them live it to the best that they can, but also not be alienated in class or, you know, not feel that they have to hold the burden of what it's like to go to war. And so this is a great way for us to talk to educators out there and say, hey, you have county veteran service officers. You have representatives for veterans at your school. You have veterans in your classroom. Some aren't even aware of that. So they come up, they talk about war, and then a veteran will be like, hey, I was there. This happened, that happened. And then they want them to participate in class. Sometimes that can be done better ways than other. And so what we like to do is bring them in and share them about that. And so this year we're going to be doing that in Duluth from April 12th to the 14th. So again, look at our website for that. And in St. Paul in August 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd of August, we'll be doing that down here in St. Paul.
So you're actually helping the college professors to learn how to better relate with the veterans and to be somewhat understanding of the resources available to help veterans with their issues.
Yes. Be another advocate on campus. You can never have too many.
Okay. And we're just about out of time. The Veterans Voices Award will go on again this year. If you've got someone to nominate, go to mnhum.org. We've just got a few seconds left. Blake, any final thoughts?
Yes. October is Veterans Voices Month. The award will be in October this year. And so just continue on our website. That's when it'll be, and that's where the information will be.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This is Blake Rondo from the Minnesota Humanities Center talking about the Veterans Voices Awards for 2019. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Director Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. Seems like just last week we were talking.
Well, Happy New Year, Tom. It was just last week, and I'm happy to be back with you.
Well, Director, we had a few things we didn't get to when we did that year in review, and one of the items was something I know you've been working on since you arrived, and that was some veterans housing on campus.
Yeah, we have a great mission. In addition to sort of the traditional healthcare work, is trying to find housing for veterans who are at risk for homelessness. So community partners, you know, MACV, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, service organizations, really it's a big job. A lot of people are involved. You know, we in the VA, the federal VA, have resources for this. And so we have built on our original campus across the street from the VA hospital two larger units, not built by the VA, but built by community partners where we house veterans at risk for homelessness and use vouchers in order to get them in there at an affordable price. So big, nice unit over at Fort Snelling that we built about 5 years ago with Common Bond. Two new units across the street, relatively new units, opened up in the last few years, and we have about 250 units over there across the street. And, of course, the really great thing is that these veterans who live in those units get all their supportive services, or most of them, over here at the hospital, and it's within walking distance. So it really helps them to be successful.
Sir, I understand that VA recently got some good news based upon a study comparing VA with private hospitals.
Yeah, the specific study, Tom, that you're referencing, Dartmouth College published a study related to how comparing quality of VA 121 sites to the civilian counterparts in those areas. And what they found in their study is that in most markets, the VA did better in inpatient care and in many, many outpatient services. You know, the RAND Corporation has done studies, two or three, over the course of the last 6 or 7 years, both of which, or all of which, showed the very same thing that the Dartmouth study showed. So I think our veterans who are getting their care here can know that the quality of care in the VA is good, and it's comparable. And sometimes we struggle with access, and we don't always get everything right. But our doctors and our nurses and our caregivers are terrific, and for the most part, comparable or as good or better than what they can get in the community.
Director, we talked last week about the fact that you're always hiring, you're always looking for doctors and nurses and those folks, but I understand that you've also received some recognition as one of the best places to work in the federal government.
Yeah, so the I remember several years ago, the VA was like 17 of 17 federal agencies, and our then Deputy Secretary, Sloan Gibson, came out with this video, and it was a visionary video. And he said, "I'm going to show you guys this video as an aspirational video." And it showed headlines: VA number one agency of 17 federal agencies. Well, in fact, what's happened over the course since then, and over the just recently reported, VA is now 6 out of 17 federal agencies, and Secretary Wilkie is holding some events to recognize VA and the staff. And so we are not yet number one, but, you know, having gone from the last federal agency to now 6 out of 17, you know, it speaks highly of the people that work with the VA and at the VA. So it's a good feeling for our employees because, you know, people are proud of the work that they do, and to be rated at the bottom never feels good. And so to have made that progress, we're really happy about that.
And, sir, here in Minnesota, you've got a wonderful partnership we talked about last week with the University of Minnesota, and those doctors work there and also work at the VA. So you've got some of the best of the best out there taking care of our veterans.
Yeah, I think people can be assured that they will get good care when they come to the Minneapolis VA or one of our community partners. You know, we send a lot of people in the community to get care as well, but you know, we're lucky in Minnesota. Minnesota has good health care, and the Minnesota VA, Minneapolis VA, and St. Cloud VA are really part of that benefit from that having really great health care in the state of Minnesota.
Director, I understand there was a highway accident recently that shined a light upon some of your people.
Thanks for giving me the chance to talk about that, Tom. November 27th of this past year, 2018, 7 o'clock in the morning, there was an accident out here, not far from the VA, out on Highway 55 southeast, and it was a multi-car accident and several vehicles. It was early in the morning. People were trying to get to work. You know, it passed by. And what I learned following this is there were three people who stopped to render assistance in this vehicle accident. They were all in separate vehicles. All three of them were VA nurses. So one VA nurse stopped. She started rendering care. Second VA nurse stopped, showed up on the scene, started supporting that nurse. And then a third person stopped. That, too, was a VA nurse, and they all arrived there prior to the EMTs having arrived and sort of established a safe zone there for those injured victims and were able to render support prior to the EMTs having arrived. So I was really proud of them, and I'm really proud of that. And it says a lot about VA nurses, the fact that lots of people saw that accident, but only three people stopped, and all three of them were VA nurses.
Wonderful news, sir. Yeah. Director, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We have two mentions today. First, I got a note from Tom Getzinger from KCHK in New Prague to let us know that the second annual New Prague Veterans Memorial Fundraiser will be held on Saturday, February 9th from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the American Legion Park Ballroom in New Prague. There'll be a showcase of seven local bands, door prizes, and silent auction. Once again, that's Saturday, February 9th from 1 to 10 p.m., contact Tom over at KCHK in New Prague for more information. And we got a report from Toys for Military Kids. 2018 was another banner year for Toys for Military Kids. 72 units in four states, 100 families throughout the state, and a 15% increase in donations. Thanks to the overwhelming support, memories were made for 3,400 military children this holiday season. For more information, go to vesechapter.org. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Patriot Minnesota Patriot Guard, Blake Rondo, Director Pat Kelly from the Minnesota VA Healthcare System, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the Family Assistance Centers of Minnesota and check in with the Marine Corps League. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.